this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com.
Challenging thing about co-parenting, I would think, would be when one individual is not committed to carrying their weight. Through my jaded eyes, I get frustrated when there is no why. I put my focus on worthless things, even the strong fall to their knees. So glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Tammy Daughtry about co-parenting and really not only keeping the kids in mind, but dealing with your heart, because you can imagine what goes on in your heart when a marriage is broken up and how that can so spill over onto the kids. And so there's a way to handle it. In her book, Co-Parenting Works, she really does walk you through so much of that. Now is the time. It's our last segment for you to get a call. And if you've got a question, 877-933-2484 or email Susie at myfaithradio.com. And I'm so glad you made the point that, you know, men are the heroes and women are the heroes, because it's not one-sided in this thing. And so Sometimes that dad is left holding the bag and he's trying to do it all. And I know a man just like that, and it's painful. But no matter what, when you're dropping off the kids and you go back to an empty house, you recognize the potential for your heart to just, you know, to go into the ditch, basically. And you kind of give some advice here, four things that are really key that I'd love to focus on. One is focusing on God's faithfulness. Say a word about that.
Well, when we prepare ourselves to send our kids away, that can be very emotionally difficult for a parent. And remembering that God is faithful, and we are never alone. We may walk back into a home with no children, but He's there. He's present. And remembering that when our kids are with a parent that loves them, if the kids are okay, then I can be okay. And I can trust that that God is going to work out this journey for my children, and I can actually give myself the freedom and permission to enjoy some downtime. You know, that's one perspective that co-parents don't think about in the beginning. They're thinking, oh, I can't stand the idea of being away from my children for more than a day. And I understand that. I miss my daughter when she's away. But having what I call a fun plan, being intentional on what you plan to do when the children leave, even the very moment they're gone. You know, I remember the first long Christmas that Angelia was leaving for 10 days. I had a friend over. We went to a dollar movie. I didn't have a lot of extra money, but I made myself a fun plan because I never wanted Angelia to leave and to feel responsible for my happiness. I didn't want her to sense that I wouldn't be okay. And I didn't want her to try to go to her dad's and wonder, gosh, is my mommy all right? Because kids that grow up with that kind of burden, I mean, that's hard on kids. So a couple other logistical things about the handoff that I want to point out quickly. I know we're running out of time. Is not just how you prepare yourself as the adult to handle that handoff, but how you prepare the children. And a mom or dad and their tone of voice and what they're saying to their children as the other parent's coming to get them, that is very, very important to handle well and to be intentional. And I try, and you know, Angelia is 14 now, and this is just part of the rhythm of our life. But when she was little and her dad was coming, I was really intentional to say words with a positive tone of voice, you know, to encourage her and say, Angelia, I am so glad you're going to see Daddy. I know you're going to have a great weekend with Daddy. I know you're going to, you know, enjoy seeing your grandparents in Georgia. I was very intentional because what I wanted to do was give her permission to go and to be free and to enjoy the time she was with her dad. That wasn't from a motive of having, you know, the motive was all about her. It wasn't anything about him or unresolved feelings for him. It was trying to release her with freedom to be excited she's going where she's going and to be able to go forward and be there and just to enjoy the process as a kid. And you know, being, again, like you said, these are hard places for parents to show up, and sometimes you really have to fake it. You might have had a really hard phone call with the person earlier in the day, and you're still angry, But when you're both there handling the handoff, being as positive as you can is important for kids. And keeping those exchanges brief, you know, helping them take their things to the car. I know some parents won't even walk their children to the door because they're so mad at the other person. And they, you know, a 4 or 5 year old child will have to get out of one car and walk carrying a suitcase or a little bag up to the door alone. You know, thinking about what can I do to make this as easy for my kids as possible? It's not about me as a parent. It's about my children. And the other real quick thing is, you know, the communication that, I mean, you have to communicate as a co-parent. Sometimes you have to ask, okay, who's going to pay for camp? Who's going to pick up the volleyball shoes? Who's going to sign up for swimming lessons? The communication, instead of doing it at that handoff, could be done in what I would call a co-parenting meeting, either over the phone when the children are asleep or away where they won't hear it, through email. You can do a lot through email with exchanging ideas and getting feedback, or in a best-case scenario, in a neutral public setting for maybe a 1 or 2 hour period a couple times a year. And that is eventually what we started doing was we had co-parenting meetings at a McDonald's down the road while Angelia was at ballet, and probably once a month at the beginning and eventually a couple times a year. We bring our calendars, we bring our notes, and we have conversations that are about co-parenting. We've never done that at the doorstep, and in 14 years, she has never, ever been exposed to an argument or a disagreement during the handoff. And we've had plenty of things like that at our co-parenting meetings because those, you know, you're trying to make parenting decisions with someone who sees differently than you, has different values, maybe has different priorities. That's hard stuff. But we have protected our daughter by never doing that at the doorstep or at the Walmart parking lot. Instead, we do it on purpose in a private way.
So this is really good. Before we go through the next three bullets that you list in the book, I just am curious, how has your daughter or your ex-husband said anything about your posture to just be so determined to do this right? It sounds like your ex has the same conviction now, but this could have gone a lot of different ways for him. I'm wondering, he's got to be grateful, and I'm sure she is too, but have they ever expressed that to you just because you've worked so hard to guard your heart and sort this stuff out to do this the right way?
Well, I'll tell you, my daughter, I asked her about a year ago to read that top 10 list at a meeting where I was speaking. I was helping parents prepare for Christmas holiday and how to exchange kids at Christmas. And I asked her, hey, will you come up and just read this list for me? You know, I had 20 minutes and I wanted her to just take a little bit and read that from a child's voice. So we stepped in the bathroom and we were rehearsing it, and I said, you sure you're okay with reading that? She's like, yeah, Mom, I got this. I love it. She loves being on stage. But I'll tell you, the moment that was memorable for me in a way I can't even put in words hardly, after she'd read through it twice out loud to get used to what she was saying, she just looked at me. She goes, Mom, I'll read this, but you and Dad don't do this to me. I can't relate to any of this.
Wow.
And that was the moment that I knew we were doing something right. We couldn't give her a traditional family with the white picket fence, but we were doing a lot of things right, even though it was hard. Mm. So, yes, there has been a few of those times where I know that I know that her life story is radically different than many children of divorce and so much more improved than mine was. And for her dad, I'll say, you know, these co-parenting meetings honestly have given he and I a place to communicate, a process with boundaries. And the best part is I realized about 5 years ago when we show up at school or we show up at a volleyball game or a ballet recital, we know that we can just go be the parent. We're not there to try to, you know, have a side conversation in the hallway or try to sit in the stands and talk about child support or, you know, who's going to pay for summer camp. We already have a system in place. So it gives us the freedom to just show up and be the parent. And that has been just, I know that John appreciates it, and I know I do. And now we're both remarried. I know our spouses appreciate it, too.
Wow, that's so good. We just have a moment before we have to pray. But your next three bullets are write a thank you letter to God, keep things in perspective, ask your friends to hold you accountable. With just a moment left, just maybe touch on those. I know that's kind of hard to do in a short amount of time, but all of these really are getting your heart before the Lord and keeping your eyes fixed on Him. Just say a word about that before we pray.
Well, I would encourage parents of any scenario to have what I call 3 a.m. friends. Have healthy, godly people in your life who will listen, who will love you, who will be kind of the guardrails of your soul, especially during the dark beginning of a post-divorce life, because none of this can be done alone. We can't do it alone as an individual. We can't do it without God. And we especially need our brothers and sisters to walk with us and to stay close in these times of pain, and being very careful to pick healthy, godly people to be those standby, close friends. That made all the difference for me in how I processed everything, was just knowing I had 3 people I could go to day or night that would love me, would listen, and who would also take all of these things to the Lord, and that together we would figure out what then to do.
You know, I've not walked, my parents were married all the way up till my dad died, and so I've not had the experience with divorce. But I do know just that anybody in any situation, when we rehash our losses and rehash our disappointments, we're digging ourselves into a hole. And so I loved the challenge to write a thank you letter to God, especially after the handoff, because then you're really remembering there are still good things in my life. I have lots to be thankful for, and it resets your perspective. I think that's just great wisdom. Well, Tammy, this has been really such an important time, and I'm wondering if you'd pray for that parent listening today who's just like Mike, just feeling stuck and wanting to get to a place where they can hit a stride for the sake of the kids.
Sure. Lord, I just thank you for anyone listening that is seeking, struggling, and asking these questions. How do I keep showing up? Life is hard. It is so different than I had hoped. But God, I just pray that in your unique way, you would give insight and hope and deep comfort, that these people would remember that you are with them. You will never leave them. You will never forsake them. You go before and behind, that you are their portion. You are their provider. And God, let them just simply rejoice in the joy of being a parent, to have brought a child into the world, even into a hard situation, and give them wisdom in how to keep loving and expressing love, even when it's hard, Lord. Give them the courage and the sustaining love to keep showing up. Lord, you are unfaithful. You love us with an unfaithful, never-ending love. Help us all to have the long-term vision of how consistent love from a parent does matter and will matter for the child's entire life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tammy, thank you for joining us today. Appreciate your wisdom so very much.
Thank you, Susie. God bless.
Good to be with you. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. Find a podcast of today's interview on our website at myfaithradio.com. God bless you. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks again for listening to this highlight from Live the Promise. If you missed the whole show or want to listen to past programs, you can find them at our website at myfaithradio.com.